Good evening and welcome to Slam the Gavel, the show that tells it all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petrie. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can endure. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit, and the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants, former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register. Also, go to the site, pleasedoyourjob.com, and sign the petition. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a case reopened. That's pleasedoyourjob.com. I have a return guest on. I'm happy to have Carl Roberts back on. He was on season 5. Episode 12 and season 5, episode 39, where we spoke about the broken system before it happens to you. And today we're going to talk about turning off the haters and the battle of the sexes. And it's not a case of who gets it worse, mothers or fathers. The system pits mothers and fathers to keep this fight going. On top of, we've got solutions, but we're not getting any traction. And this is the journey most of us are on. I'm on it along with Carl Roberts and other people. And we're going to talk about this. And I totally welcome you, Carl Roberts of Colorado Resilience. Thank you so much for coming on to my podcast. Oh, my goodness.
It's good to see you, my friend. Yeah, more power to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. Yeah. So, you know, how do we get the battle of the sexes to just stop and work together?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, again, that's, you know, all the division, right, in the country, in politics, and men, battle of the sexes type thing. I mean, it's throughout. And that's, you know, it's united we stand, divided we fall, type thing. And there's no more, I mean, there is, again, we've had these problems forever now, for decades, and they only seem to be getting worse. We get a lot of lip service from the systems, from the judges, from the judiciary, from CPS, from child welfare, from child support. Mm-hmm. We get all the lip services from the policymakers and the system stewards, as I would call them. Mm-hmm. But it only evolves for the system and the benefit. I mean, so there is, again, you kind of realize again, what's preventing change, right? Who is preventing change? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my vernacular, there's three groups. The first one is the system stewards, whether that's the judiciary and the judges and the court administrative offices and the bureaucrats that all go with that, mm-hmm. or the policymakers in CPS and child support and certainly, quite honestly, in the domestic violence arena. So they are systems working just fine for them, and you know they're. You know, again, the more problems that there are, the bigger their fiefdom becomes. And, you know, the more that they can kind of lord over it. And, you know, the judiciary, you know, certainly has, you know, enjoys their broad discretion without accountability. And you know, they don't want to have to rule on evidence. They want to be able to, you know, have it be their gut or their opinion or, you know, do a favor for a friend. Mm-hmm. And so it is really when people go into court, it's a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You judge what side of the bed he or she woke up on that day, whether mm-hmm. what they've got going on in their own personal life, whether or not they like you, your gender, your lawyer or the opposing counsel's lawyer or not. It all rolls into it. So we all know just kind of thus that been in the arena that, best interest of the child is the most famous standard non-standard in the world, and it is just all these subjective criteria. Mm-hmm. No, again, so best interest of the child is any one person's opinion on any one given day.
Right.
So we've got that, so that's that one group. The other group that the second group is that all all professionals that police families to thrive on their conflict and thrive on their family destruction to get paid. Lawyers, certainly custody evaluators, gals, really just about the parenting coordinators, the PCDMs or whatever you call them. And there is just, it's a $50 billion industry.
Oh, yes.
And so I mean, because it's a conflict-driven revenue system. And that's why you get the pushback about shared parenting. That's why you get the pushback about trying to put any objective criteria in the best interest of the child's standard, because if you get something objective or if there's evidence, then it's harder to argue, and it's harder to fleece those families for all that. And so that's why false allegations are the standard operating procedure, and there's no accountability. Lying, people lie right and left, and there's no accountability. Because that would cut into the revenue. So,
Yes.
so you get to those two judges, and I would just say the judges, then all the revenue, the conflict-driven revenue professionals. There's just nothing positive about custody evaluators. They are absolutely the biggest. I argue back and forth in my own mind about who's worse here, the lawyers or the custody evaluators. And quite honestly, I think the lawyers, at least what they're in this for. So
Right.
it's kind of not no big surprise there. It's the custody evaluators that are just really so very problematic. And I mean, that's one side. That's one thing that all of us kind of agree on, men and women, and been through it. I mean, none of us like the custody evaluators, and even the system stewards. And I've talked to several of the ju national judicial organizations. Recognize that they're a problem, but nothing will be done. Then the third one is where it just kind of gets a little bit more controversial, and now we start to kind of get into that battle of the sexes. It's the feminists of today. There's a, I don't know if you kind of follow American Institute for the Boys and Men. But Richard Reeves is really coming out with a lot of good stuff. Very well researched, very well written, very well, trying to take things down the middle of the road, not conservative, not liberal, trying to, and really, again, trying to raise these issues up that are, again, because the rising tide lifts all boats. It's not, kind of the, watching after boys and men is not a zero-sum game of, distracting from girls and women. But the feminists of today, certainly, and that, it's the loud minority, not the silent majority, right? And that loud minority is, the ones who are driving the policy. And they're the ones that are saying, I am woman, I am victim. I am woman, protect me. Don't give my we oppose shared parenting because daddy's bad. I'm good. Give me the kids. Allow me to have kids. If I claim daddy's bad, trust me. No questions asked. You gotta believe me. And then treat him, presume that he's guilty. And then even after he's proven innocent, still hang that albatross around his neck. So because I'm good. And so. So you got that, and so that's very, feminism is a trigger word, right? And again, for men and women. And in this article that came out by Richard Reeves, and he touched on it in several different ways, but again, it's not feminism of yesteryear of equality of the sexes. Mm-hmm. It's still the everything, most everybody kind of supports that one. You know, you get 70-80% across all both sexes that support, you know, equality of the sexes. But the perception is certainly more from men is that it's more of a intolerance and hatred towards men. It's how do women win and punish men? You know, it, so, you know, this, you, we talked about, you know, kind of the patriarchal. So, I mean, and these feminists, and I'm dealing with some things, another group that I deal with called Davia. And anyway, we're doing a press conference at the UN in early March, and then we're on a panel at the UN Women, Child and Family Conference. and again, the feminists of today is a hatred and intolerance towards men, and they, you know, they're anti-family because they see family as being this patriarchal structure built there to oppress women.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the majority of women don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of men don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's this vitriol. It's this banner that is used to, you know, it's like all extremist stuff. You know, you know, far left, far right. And I oftentimes have a, you know, in this arena, it's that far left feminist that's really the most problematic. In many other arenas, you got the far right white racist,
right.
Nationalists that are the problem. But this one, women are really driving most of the policy in CPS, in child support, in domestic violence for certain, because as lobbyists, policymakers might question a lawyer, you know, in the family, law section of the state bar. They can, you know, they know, I mean, they're talking, the lobbyists may talk in some altruistic terms, but they know that they're working for their own pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so they might question the lawyer, but they're not going to question a mom that's claiming to be victim. You know, they just kind of take that as at face value. And, you know, it is this, the video that I saw a little while back, about 17 or 18 minutes long, that talked about the victim mentality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and again, what's really that white liberal women want to blame everything on a man, mm-hmm. actually a white man,
mm-hmm.
for whatever their bad mood is that day. And for whatever challenge in life that they come across. So they're blaming, they got to blame man.
Right. Well, this is like the patriarchy, because men have suffered under the patriarchy themselves. And so women are suffering under this issue as well, because a lot of the CPS individuals are overweight women. Okay. So, you know, I was
feeling that attitudes of their own lived experiences of how they may have been mistreated, you know, by society because they don't have that whatever issue. I mean, maybe they weren't abused, but they've got their friends that know that story.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so you get those 70-80% of those CPS workers that, you know, again, are bringing their own bias, implicit or explicit, to it. And they, you know, because now they're that hammer, everything's a nail.
Right. And they also will get into the home and try to force one parent to divorce the other one. And I've heard many stories about that. So, okay, women are suffering under feminism and patriarchy. We're all suffering from these things. Also, let's talk about these female judges that are out of hand, like the one that shot her boyfriend recently. Apparently, she's a lousy shot. Okay, so. But so thank God they've got her in custody. And I really think all these judges need psych evals and drug testing, among other things. But I suffered under a really vengeful female judge. So females are doing this to each other. So when I think about feminism, and I've had other moms say this to me, why is this female judge doing this to me? This is a female judge taking my kids away. It's like, oh, I know. I can't explain it. I don't know what you think of
Well,
that.
again, I follow Susan Bassi on LinkedIn, and she's incredible. And I wish every state had an investigative reporter on family court like she is. And she does a lot of reporting again on these female judges. And I made comment to her one time, and again, it's just an equal opportunity arena. Again, the bad apples, there's no gender has any corner on the bad apple market, right? So you got just batshit crazy women, you got batshit crazy asshole men, and that, again, they're bringing their BS to the courtroom and destroying the lives of children and families. And if we had more Susan Bassies of this world, we'd have a lot more of these judges exposed. And but the ability to hold any of those judges accountable is just slim and none. We got some people like Bill Corbett who's trying to chase the judges legally. We'll see how that kind of plays out. I got another fellow here in Colorado that I'm talking with that he's taking a different track into trying to go get the judges. He's going after their surety bonds.
Oh, that's what,
So
yeah, Alicia Clark is doing that as well. She's been on my podcast a number of times. And I've covered,
where is she?
oh, New York State, where I've covered a lot of judges in New York State as well as North Carolina, which is North Carolina and South Carolina. I think they're hotbeds for criminality. These judges are
Well,
rogue.
yeah, I may want to get Alicia Clark in touch with my guy here, or my guy here in touch with Alicia Clark. So see where that can go. But so much of our challenge, not only is there just no accountability for anybody, lawyers, judges, or litigants. And the false allegations are big business,
Oh, yes.
standard operating. And I'm meeting regularly with CPS here with their direct with our director and deputy director. Again, how do we start to kind of upfront? I mean, we have such a high percent. Well, I think whatever the rough numbers here, but Colorado gets like 100,000 calls into the CPS hotline each year. 10,000 of those kind of get have a case of child physical abuse opened on them, and then 88% of those are ultimately closed as unsubstantiated. And that's all the flavor they're going to give to it is unsubstantiated because they don't want to paint it any other way.
And in the meantime, that parent has lost their job, they've lost their life savings, and even their home.
Yeah, and so what my point is with them, with CPS, again, that's hard road, is the first thing that you ought to be doing as intake is you ought to be identifying whether or not this issue, this call is concerning an issue against one or both of the parents, or if it's between. And if it's between, now we got a whole nother risk factor that needs to be evaluated. And we need to be looking at the caller and the motivation of the caller with equal vigilance, importance, and determination as the call itself. And because we know those 88% that are dismissed as unsubstantiated, that there is some of that that's just some bad shit just that happened and, you know, got through and that should have been caught. Was it 90% of the kids who died at the hands of a parent, you know, have had prior CPS involvement type thing. And so, but of that, but the vast majority of all those claims that are dismissed, they fall into one of three categories, either completely false to begin with, somebody trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Right.
Or trying to make something perfectly healthy and good parenting into something that's not.
Right.
And all three of those are an effort to harm the other parent or harm the child's relationship with the other parent. And we, and so the system just refuses to look at that risk factor, because the greatest risk to the child in a custody battle is not physical harm. It's losing the relationship with one of their parents. And we know all the data again, as that comes, you know, again, how that kind of comes to play. But because of feminism, we got to make sure that everybody who wants to make an allegation can. We don't, because of feminism, and we want to be able to make sure that somebody, if they say that they're being abused, that we allow them to do so. And because of feminism, we don't want to be able to tell the caller, okay, not only is your call being recorded, but making a false allegation is a crime punishable, is a punishable crime. And we refuse to just even make that statement to start to have people question that, you know, so if my motivation is with ill intent, maybe that does stop me. And if it's not going to stop me if I've got a true child safety concern. And, but because of feminism, I'm a woman, I'm a victim, hear me roar, you know, believe me without question. And the harm that that does to all those women as well, that they get caught up in this. So this is, again, you get this loud minority. That, I mean, we see it with parental alienation, right? And again, all these moms who are just being, you know, alienated, and all the boys and girls that are losing a parent, moms and dads, are suffering because you get this, I don't have really polite words for it, but you get this a small minority of misandrists. That's the most polite word I can get.
you're allowed to swear. Just let it out. Let it out.
No. Yeah. I get have fun times. But yeah, it is, again, and here in Colorado, it's awful. I mean, we're a very heavy blue state. And I'm very much in the middle. But again, it is the policymakers and the legislators that, and I got a couple of, there's a couple of trolls, men hating legislators that are absolutely pushing this bad stuff out and the bad policies out, trying to legitimize false allegations. And again, after those have come and gone, still treat an accused as if they're guilty.
Oh, definitely. I was exonerated from two emotional abuse indications that my ex was calling in. And no accountability. I lost everything. And it's okay. I don't understand. I just think, let's get rid of CPS. If you have to make an allegation, go call the police. The police have to be retrained on how to deal with this stuff. Sorry to make more of a mess of things, but just get rid of CPS, because they really, they don't really do anything to help the family or to help anyone. They just destroy.
Well, I mean, so we've kind of had a LinkedIn exchange about it too, again, about the, you know, abolish family court. And those just aren't realistic goals, right? And you know, again, I do think, you know, CPS is here for a reason. And I really can't imagine a world without CPS, because child welfare.
I could.
I know we can all kind of fantasize about that because of all the problems that we suffer through, but there are children that are in, that need to be protected from parents.
Well, then that's what, then call the police and let them do their job.
And so, but they've got they really do have a very tough job. I mean, it's probably one of the more tougher jobs. I mean, even in the best of times with the best of personnel, it's a tough job. Mm-hmm. And but there is, again, the culture is this feminist culture that, again, that doesn't believe that calls are made with ill intent. And I've had that in meetings with the deputy director, who's female, probably, you know, early 40s. You know, I don't know that she's ever been married or had kids, but she certainly comes across as that feminist. Mm-hmm. That, again, she would say, again, and we disagree on our perspectives about the volume of the calls coming in with ill intent versus just good faith. She didn't think that there's that many coming in with ill intent.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And so, which is, so that is that kind of that tip of the spear, that's what, who leads that culture. And that is the problem, because the culture of CPS, again, let's make it this, make it easy to make an allegation. Make no accountability for false allegations, mm-hmm. and refuse to call it out into the different buckets of why things were dismissed. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you don't start recognizing that these issues are, when they're between parents, there's a whole set, another set of risk factors for that child. Mm-hmm. It's not physical abuse. It's a war between the parents, and the child is in the middle. And you're failing to do your job in protecting that child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Right. And I think they should also look at who's calling in all the time, especially during a custody hearings. this is the key, I think, to a lot of these false accusations.
Well, so yeah, so both California and Texas have recently passed laws. You can no longer just be anonymous callers. And so that was, you know, with the intent, and to me, that's just scratching on the surface about, mm-hmm. you know, the people trying to weaponize the systems. Because whether that anonymous caller is a mom or the dad or a lawyer or a friend, again, in that call being made, we got to determine if this is an issue against both the parents or one of the parents or between. If this is related to a custody matter. And was there one in the past? Is there one currently? Does it have the potential to have one coming up? Mm-hmm. And when you can start collecting that data and start in that fashion, then we can start dealing with the problem in more an appropriate way. Mm-hmm. And until we know whether or not this, if it's related to a custody matter, and they are collecting, they're aware, but they're not collecting that data. They don't really, you know, they really aren't collecting that data, so it's reportable. Mm-hmm. But they refuse to, again, at a call coming in, when we close out that call, even if it doesn't make it through the first initial screening, we need to put it into one of three buckets. Good faith call, made with the true child safety concern, a questionable or, you know, unknown caller intent, mm-hmm. or is made with ill intent to harm, to gain an advantage in custody in child court or to harm the other parent. And start categorizing that as up front and on the back end as you close these off. And again, solutions will repair, we present themselves. We start to address problems because we start to collect the data. We start to categorize the caller and their motivation. And pretty soon, lots of the problems are solved.
Well, if you're going to keep CPS around, then they have to hire people that are intellectually aware of these issues, not hiring people out of college with a child development degree. And some of them don't even have kids of their own. They always make a phone call with anger in their voices. I hear this all the time. It was done to me. Like, as soon as you answer the phone, you're getting screamed at. What the heck is this? They're so uneducated. This is how they treat parents. So they need a clean house. If you want to keep CPS around, clean house, hire people with degrees in child psychological abuse and other forms of child abuse, and this discernment of the who's calling with ill intent, who's calling with, care and concern. And also, these people have to be educated to say, okay, kinship care, instead of saying, oh, foster care, so we can earn some more money. This is kids for cash.
And big government, big funding, it is good. And and but those who are on the hotline, $30,000 person, it's not your typical call center. It's not the not the Amazon call center that people are calling into, that you make a mistake, then okay. These are incredibly important roles, and the case managers are incredibly important, and they're, again, like I say, not necessarily trained, and they certainly have got their own issues, and it's that culture.
There has to be a solution with this. I like what California and Texas did with you can't place an anonymous call. I think that should be done in every state.
And that's just scratching the surface.
Right.
And I mean, because you're dealing with this national issue of weaponizing child welfare, and but here in this very democratic state, Colorado, a couple of those bills failed last go round.
Well, that's just it. You get these bills up there, and then the legislatures, I don't know if they don't want to be bothered with them.
Well, no, you get the feminists in. Hey, we need to be able to say, if my child's been abused, you need to hear me.
Right. I also believe the judges need to start looking at this evidence and not having a court clerk look at evidence and decide if the judge should see it or not, or the judge should be taking the case and looking at it themselves. I know they're going to have to work. Oh my goodness. But that's what the taxpayer's paying them for.
Well, I
Read
mean,
the evidence.
but it's not an evidence-based system. I mean, it's all a hearsay-based
Right.
system. And again, so that's what rebuttable presumption of equal parenting does, in my estimation, in my opinion. But if you make a rebuttable presumption of equal parenting, rebuttable by even a preponderance of the evidence, then we at least start to make evidence-based rulings, as opposed to opinion-based rulings. But that, again, brings in accountability, that brings in all the stuff that the judges don't want, because their life is good, and don't
Well,
mess. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, they want to go golfing as soon as possible and, meet with their buddies and joke about their cases at the club. Oh yeah, I'm so done with it.
It takes a toll on a person. So.
Yeah. And what do we do with these haters? Here we are, we're trying to offer solutions, we're trying to offer, but there's always these haters. I don't know. I just saw a post on LinkedIn about, the hatred of the stepmother. Oh no, I think that was on Instagram. And it's PAPA posted it. And the stepmother in my case and other cases that I've covered has played a major role in the destruction of the co-parent relationship, as well as with the children. So,
There's bad actors all around, right?
right.
And again, when I talk about the haters again, so people who are coming at you, so again, those of us who are kind of putting ourselves out there to kind of push the change and try to kind of lead or champion the whatever we want to labor our cause as being, and again, you get the pushback from. Or you get the mostly it's the hatred coming from feminists that are saying, well, or claiming again, only moms are abused. And again, it's only moms suffer with this, or highlighting that story where a mom was abused because, again, see, men are bad. And it's those, we talked earlier kind of about again, Maddie
Wellborn.
Wellborn. And I know Dr. Jennifer Harmon as well. And again, the vitriol that kind of comes at them for doing the right thing. It is, it's, I mean, we obviously we see it in our politics, but again, you have these two women who to me are just tremendous heroes. You might not like how Maddie's going about her business or really what she's doing. But what she is and what she's doing at the end of the day, she's just trying to raise awareness. And so all these policymakers that are making these decisions based upon, poor me, I'm woman, protect me. And poor me, it's just haters.
Right.
And again, so, and they're trying to pass policy that advantages women as opposed to equal. Due process, protecting the children. They're trying to advantage themselves as opposed to protecting the children. So I call them villains masquerading as child protection or domestic violence victims advocates. They're just misandrists.
Well, I have run into some very nasty dads that
Oh,
are
really?
still stuck in 1972 or 1985, and they still believe that everything, the custody always goes to the mother. Where I try to explain that the pendulum has swung back in the last 10 to 15 years, where the judges are saying, hey, let's go after the moms. And I have seen evidence that people have sent me that show child abuse, yet the judge is giving them to the father. Okay, so I even had a gentleman call me, and he was saying how he was going through family court, and this was bad. I won't mention too much about the case, but he sent me evidence, and I kind of give him some, help and what I could give. And he says, well, when this is done, I'm going to help a lot of other dads. I said, no, you're not. You're going to help a lot of moms, dads, and grandpas and grandmas, because we're all suffering in this together.
And that's the thing is so again so where these anti-parental alienation people come from, and there are cases absolutely where lawyers and custody evaluators will wrongly use parental alienation, and there is that very abusive man, and he wrongly gets his custody, and again it and that shit it happens, but there's. For every one of those, there's 15, whatever the number is, 15 of where it was, no, he was not abusing. And it's just, again, it's the game. And, but that's that really abusive man, that asshole that who abused their child, and then use it as a legal defense, he is just hurt every other mom and dad.
Right. Well, and I think I already told you, or people know my story, but as soon as I walked into the family courtroom, because I got dragged in there, I didn't go in there initiating this. Believe me, who wants to go in there because there's cockroaches, literally. But the opposing attorney, as soon as we got, as soon as it started, he called out, she's mentally ill and she's alienating the kids from the father. I'm like, what? And it ran from there. So it's whoever lies the best wins.
And it's kind of first of the draw sometimes, right?
Right, and again, right.
And whoever's hearing your lie, and again, whether or not they sympathize with you or not. Mm-hmm. And again, what their gut tells them, or, you know, it's a beauty contest or whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's just a crapshoot.
Right. Or it's rigged.
And rigged in many cases. And again, the custody evaluators are there. They're big part of the problem. Mm-hmm. They're not part of the solution.
How do you think we get around using those, or just not using those?
Well, you can't. You know, we can't. I mean, so.
How about this? How about if the judge says, I'm going to order a custody evaluator, the parents get to pick outside of the system. So the judge cannot pick the custody evaluator that's going to evaluate, you know, I mean, that's a conflict of interest on both parents. So put it on each parent, hire their own child psychologist or psychological eval.
You're just feeding the system there. But again, that's just feeding the system. And
but you're not feeding them where they all know each other.
Well, I mean, so how it works way back when here in Colorado, and I assume it's like this in most cases, but again, the parties will give their list of two or three to the court, and each party gives their list of two or three, and then the judge picks one. I think that's how it works. But again, the very corrupt system.
Very.
So what we talked about when I was last on here, again, this proposal that I've got that would dissolve most all custody cases in 30 days or less.
Right. I'm all for it.
And so I presented to IALS, which is Institute for the Advancement of the American Legal System here at DU. I say I presented to one guy there. It was warm received, but again, nothing we can do for you here. I presented to the National Council for Juvenile and Family Court Judges. Again, the one person. Again, okay, good stuff, but you know, solutions don't come from outside the system. And then again, this goes contrary to where we are with our legal system, in our bureaucracy. We got to have all this stuff, or you know, everybody's not getting protected. Mm-hmm. And then I presented to the president of the AFCC, and he basically shit all over it and just said that, you know, again, when I talked about 50-50 parenting, he said, well, you lose me right there. You know, because that's his business. He's got to divide the, you know, he's got to sort that out for mm-hmm. himself. And then I presented to the Center for Judicial Innovation. And I know judicial innovation in the same term is an oxymoron, but in New York. And again, no, we can't do that. You know, that makes too much sense type thing. Or we can't. And the initial part of my program is when somebody files a motion, I see that as a trigger, a contested custody type motion. And that motion needs to be vetted to some degree by some panel, by some criteria as to if it should move forward or be accepted as filing with the court. And if it move forward, is there a safety concern or not? Both of them can move forward. Or should it not move forward? Or should it be denied before it even kind of gets to the other party because of X, Y, or Z, whatever those criteria are. But that, because there is just people are filing litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the words are vexatious or frivolous or right. whatever. That, you know, again, it's legal abuse.
Right.
And they are there with the intent to harm, not a good faith reason.
Right.
And but to have the judiciary or have somebody deny a motion is contrary to everything that the legal system says we should do. We got to give access to justice. We got to be able to allow everybody to file a motion. But when they file a motion, now we got this barrier to justice on the other side that the other one has to respond to. Mm-hmm. It gets back to this whole system again. Only the privileged, the privileged win. The people with the most resources win.
The money. Yes, it's a money game. Money course.
And so we can't, and so we cannot protect that mother
mm-hmm.
unless we're allowing her to file whatever motion she wants to file.
Also, it also comes back to the judge looking at evidence. Because there are two cases I covered, one in North Carolina, and I interviewed her on my podcast. She showed evidence from her PI with the father smoking marijuana with the kid in the back seat in his car seat. Now, if you were a normal judge, you'd say, Custy's going to mom, okay? Then, and that was she was before a male judge, okay? So then I was looking at a case in Louisville, Kentucky, where a gentleman contacted me and he sent me his evidence and he went before a female judge. And if you saw this evidence of domestic violence on that was being done to him, she disregarded everything in court. This judge disregarded everything in court and gave custody to this unfit mother. Sorry. But they're not, this comes down to the judiciary. This is their ball game here.
Yeah, I mean, again, it gets to the evidence. I mean, it's not an evidence-based system.
Mm-hmm.
They can dismiss your constitutional rights without question. They can dismiss your due process. They can dismiss your equal protections without accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... But you talk to the Chief Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court, he'll say, no, it's an evidence-based system. Yeah, well, you're protecting your fiefdom. But then, anyway.
Yeah. I think at some point, the more people that tell their stories and offer solutions, at some point, something's going to break.
Well, so that's the thing here. Again, you got a lot of people. You look at Facebook. How many different groups of again, reform this, reform that, or kill CPS, or kill the courts, kill the lawyers, are all out there. But nobody. We're not unifying in any way. So our voices are just being dismissed. We're screaming into a void. We're screaming into space, and nobody. The system does not care. It's big business, but we're going to protect the business. You know, we're going to give you lip service, but it's going to keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
And we, again, and it's not going to change through us volunteers like you and me. And the people who, we have to get organized and funded.
Mm-hmm.
To move this, some of this work forward. So
definitely, definitely. And I'm so glad we had this conversation. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, everybody listening that watches, I mean, get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever harms or injustices have been coming to you, they go to that other gender just as easily. And so we got to get away from the battle of the sexes, who gets it worse or who gets it better. It serves nobody but the system. And we got to start unifying it. And I'll send you the organizations. But again, as people are posting in the different groups, in the Twitter, or on LinkedIn, or as we need to be tagging these groups to make sure that they're friggin' hearing these horror stories. I'm not as big about ranting about the rants these days. Again, it's bringing solutions but having these systems hear us and know the family destruction that they're causing. It is killing our families and their children and moms and dads. Doesn't matter if it's, 10 times one and one the other. And shit happens. I mean,
yeah,
bad things happen to good people every day. And it's not about who gets it worse or better. We got to get past this, but we can look at the three groups: judiciary, the professionals who are conflict driven, revenue, and the feminist. And again, that's such a trigger word of feminist and feminism, but I'm talking about the loud minority, not the silent majority. And navigating that whole gender minefield is, insane.
Well, I'm glad I had you on, and I'll have you back on again. So don't jump off. Oh, wait, how can people reach you if they have any questions?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love the, come to my website. I'd love people to kind of add their names to my email list.
Okay.
At ColoradoResilience.org. And put your name and email on there and we'll go from there.
Definitely. Well, thank you, but don't jump off. Slam the Gavels, a podcast to help the public understand what really goes on in these family courtrooms. I am your host, Marianne Petrie, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. Please join us again here with Carl Roberts in the future and other exciting guests. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, and other platforms I don't even know about. And feel free to buy me a coffee to help support this podcast. And you can find that in the podcast notes. Thank you so much, Carl Roberts.
Thank you, Marianne.